Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
I don't know where to start, Rusty Boy. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
You're on a roll.
Merry Christmas, Rusty. How are you, man?
I'm good.
This will come out. This recording will come out. There. All I want for Christmas is a big white claw. A big white claw. Gobble that thing up. It'll be December when this show hits the airwaves. How you been, man? What's gone on the last week? Give me some highlights.
My youngest daughter, Brooklyn, soccer player at USC, they got knocked out of the playoffs. And we got great news yesterday. Soccer Canada, U20 girls, ladies team or whatever, invited her to try out. So she, January 2nd to 7th, she's going to Toronto to try out for Team Canada. So we're fingers crossed for her.
So does anything ever go shitty for your family?
Come on.
Does anything ever go shitty for your family?
I leave the shit out.
Here's the phone calls I get. Mr. Drone, we'd need you to come into school today to talk about your son. Well, good for her. Congratulations.
Yeah. And you know, the other, Allie has started this new Instagram site with, right. We are dual citizens, and she did this interview and she sent it to us, and my son had said, Dad, you're going to bawl your eyes out when you see this thing. So I thought, you know, I'll just go for a walk by myself, do the loop, and I'll listen to it. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And it's 15 or 20 minutes. And, it's for what she's doing about mental health and telling her own story. Well, oh my God, it's daylight. I'm walking through Sherwood and I'm absolutely bawling my eyes. And I know a lot of people in the neighborhood, right? So I'm walking along, I'm crying. I'm pulled my hat down. So it's like, you can barely see my face.
Right.
Anyways, she talks about her history with mental health, and she talks about how she was suicidal, and it just absolutely broke my fucking heart. And I didn't know that. And so when you say, do shitty things happen in your life? Yes, we do have our own shit. And that was, you know, thank God we got through that. And she talks about it through this interview of what saved her from not going through with what she was thinking about going to do to herself. And oh boy. Wow. So any of us any of us out there and listeners with kids, that, you know, keep talking to your kids. Cause we used to talk to our kids all the time because of my dad committing suicide. We used to always talk to our kids. Like, if you're ever feeling down, we'll get you in therapy. And God damn it, if she wasn't telling us the truth and finally she got out of it and she's never been better, and she has her days, but boy, oh boy, if you're close to somebody out there, just check in with people, and especially what we've all been through the last couple of years, it's tough on everyone. And we just need to keep an eye open for each other. And so that was a shitty, but it was a good, you know, I was crying and then I was smiling that was a long time ago, but, anyways, that's one thing that was not so great in the past week.
Well, we sure appreciate it. We get a lot of comments, Russ, about you, about the podcast where it's inside, you know, where it takes people inside. And I understand exactly what you're saying. And you won't understand it, good listener, until you have children.
Yeah.
If you don't, or grandkids, because there's a history of it in your family that you've exposed us to and told everyone about your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to admit, you know, I've got three kids like you do. They're into their 20s. My last guy will be 20 next month. And I don't want to say in a weaker moment, but I find parenting tough, you know. I do. And to anyone who knows me might go, yeah, I would think that'd be a tough thing for you.
Yeah. Your kids say the same thing about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. But there is that, you know, if I'm going to be honest, the most honest I can be, and it may be sort of catastrophizing a situation, but I got to admit, I always go to, good God, I hope they don't self-harm, you know? It's kind of gross, but it's reality. But anyway, follow your daughter. Follow your daughter, Allie, on Instagram. And she's wonderful, absolutely wonderful girl, and quite a life, you know, that is unfolding before us that we get to watch. So speaking of that, a couple of things, Rusty, we want to talk about today. And we'll get to it shortly. The Bergevin firing, who's a friend of your brother's, and you know him. And a few weeks ago, I tried to prod you into giving us more because you dropped this thing saying there's going to be some news coming out of Montreal, I think was the teaser.
Yeah.
And admittedly, you said you knew what was happening there. And so we want to talk about that. What I first want to get to, though, speaking of you talked about Bobby Kennedy here ripping Fauci. And if we look at that in hockey, we've heard guys, Rusty, we've talked about it before, where guys rip guys in the media. You know, that they'll take a guy on, that they may step out of line talking about refereeing, or maybe they'll go a little sideways out of their mouth about their coach and they're getting shit. So Ottawa's in, they're playing the Kings. Claude Lemieux's son, Brendan, plays for the Kings and gets in a scuffle with Brady Tkachuk, and Tkachuk freaks out after going, he bit my hand.
Yeah.
He bit my hand.
Twice.
And so apparently they act accordingly. He shows him the bite mark. But what gets really interesting, which you didn't know, is they ask, obviously they ask Brady Tkachuk about this in the media. So listen to this clip here, and we want your reaction on this for sure, because Brady Tkachuk goes off on this guy.
I think it is the most gutless thing somebody could ever do. Not even children bite. This guy is just, you can ask any one of his teammates, nobody wants to play with him. This guy is a bad guy, bad teammate, you know, focus on himself all the time. Just the guy's a joke. He shouldn't fucking be in this league. It's this guy's gutless. I know no other team wants him. He's going to keep, you know, begging to be in the NHL, but no team's going to want him. This guy's just an absolute joke and just a bad guy. And it's gutless, but I can't really wrap my head around it. Children don't even do this. This guy's just a bad guy and not even a good player either. He decides it's, I don't even know what he's thinking. He's just a complete brickhead.
Wow.
Yeah. So is it gamesmanship, Rusty? Or when I first heard that, I said, oh, the guy's just going off here to have some fun or not. Like,
I don't think so. I think anybody, you get bit. I mean, come on, you get punched in the face. It's acceptable, but biting, I mean, it's just not acceptable. So, that is a reaction to just a shitty play by Brendan. I mean, it's weird that somebody would you know, bite him, you know, and Brendan's a tough kid, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I had a guy, I had a fight, and everybody knows I'm not a fighter. So I'm fighting this guy in St. Louis. I wish I could remember his name. And when we were down in the restaurant on top of us, he scratched my face. Uh-oh. But I didn't realize how bad. I went to the locker room and we got kicked out for that period. Come back in the second. And I come back I go in the locker room and it looked like it had been attacked by a cat. And I went up to the ref and he goes, oh, I wish you had showed me your face when I was giving out the penalties. I would have given him a 10-minute. But that kind of play, you know, scratching, pulling hair, biting, I mean, there's just no room for it.
Spitting. What do you think about his comments where he said that nobody wants, even his teammates don't want to play?
Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't know. I couldn't really make a comment on that. That's a guy who's really pissed off and he's trying to hit him. You know, he's trying to get back at him some way. So he's verbally abusing him. And whether that's true or not, I do not know.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah, that's harsh.
It's a lively clip there.
Yeah, that's harsh.
In the same vein, because we often talk about it, suspensions and how players should act, how they shouldn't act. Brad Marchand, a clip comes out of the game, his last game, gets a 3-game suspension for slew footing.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did not, but that's such a dangerous play that, and he's what a, he's an offender.
Right.
It's, you know, maybe
seven suspensions he's had. He got a 3-gamer for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Same guy who was licking guys on the face in the playoffs during the playoff.
Right.
Oh, what a pest. But he's yeah, that's that slew cook, slew footing is terrible. It's really dangerous.
So Russ, what about the whole idea? Cause you always seem to side on the player side, and not the Department of Safety here side when suspensions are going to be handed out. There's going to be some sort of fallout for a shit play.
This depends on the penalty, really.
Well, what about the repeat offender? I was saying, okay, so, you know, if you look at hockey, if you used to get in a third fight, for example, you'd get thrown out, I think, mm-hmm. probably back in your day, right? You could fight twice, and if you did it the third time, you got booted out.
Right.
This guy's into 7 or 8 suspensions now, Russ, and I'm wondering if we say, okay, look, at whatever the suspension is, your first offense, whatever it is for your second, it is what it's going to be. But if you start to get a third, okay, we start at 5 games or something, regardless? Or
no, I think that when you talk about a repeat offender, it's more the same penalty. That's my understanding. Is a guy, remember when they were clamping down on headshots?
Yes.
And they go, okay, first time, this second, third. They kept saying repeat offender, repeating the same play.
Right. Like
this
speeding.
Is different. This is the first time he's ever, I'm sure this is the first time he's ever slew footed anybody. I could be wrong, but I mean, if it's the first time he did this, then they're going to treat it for this penalty. Not that he's back. I think it was the headshot thing that they kept saying, yeah, he's back here again for doing the exact same thing. And he's not getting it. I think that guys who play the way Marchand play, they're always going to be on the edge and doing something. And that's where I think it's different when it says 7th time being suspended, but not 7 times for the exact same thing. If it was the exact same thing, it would be a lot more games because right. he's not listening.
So is that the way it's always going to be, Rusty, in the NHL? That's just life. There's going to be dirty plays, whether intentional or not. There's going to be suspensions. There's going to be light ones. We haven't had a real heavy one in a long time.
Because of the game. I mean, it's a high-speed, aggressive game, and people get pissed off, and they lose their freaking minds for a couple seconds, and then they make a mistake, and then they regret it because, you know, all of a sudden now they got a 9-game suspension. I mean, Kadri is probably the best example of fucking up, like in the playoffs in Toronto and then Colorado. He went there and did the same thing. I mean, he... You know, as good a player he is, he's done some stupid things that are regretful. And because you think about it, he knows what he did wrong. Mm-hmm. He knows what the penalty was.
Right.
What it cost not only him, but it cost his team. And he does it again. And either he's not that bright, or I would just say that he is that bright, and he gets so wound up in such an aggressive, high-tempo game that he loses his mind for a second. That's all.
Right, right.
Not that's all, but that's, you know, they know the consequences, yet players like Marchand and Kadri and others are repeat offenders because of that, just the way the game is. I mean, it's – you want to frickin' – like – I wasn't a fighter, man. I wish I was 1 year. Just let me be the toughest guy in the league so I can go around and fucking beat up all the fucking guys that abused me every game.
Right.
I mean, every player would love to go out and get even with somebody.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy, or engage with him on social media. Find out how at thesuspendables.com.
I've just picked our headline for the way this works, folks, is we do a show. Our show, as you've probably heard, it's advertised on radio stations across the country. And then at the end of the show, Reg hits me up, goes, I need a quick 10-second clip for these ads. Okay, and I'm always trying to think. So I got one for today already. What did Russ want to be that he wasn't in the NHL?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to be a fighter? I wish I was a tough guy, too. Yeah.
Just even for 10 games.
I was so 10 seconds, man. I'd want to be a tough guy.
And that's probably why you see two teams just rally around your tough guy when he has a great fight against somebody, and they're all like hugging him and high fiving him because we want to be that guy just for a minute. Just give me a minute. Let me hammer somebody.
Yeah, and always that conversation, should they get rid of fighting? Should they get rid of fighting? All you got to do, I think, Rusty, is forget talking to the commissioner, forget talking to a retired guy like Russ Courtnell. All you got to do is, if you think they should keep fighting or not, is look into the stands, okay, when a fight does start, okay?
Yeah.
And look how many eyes are on the fight.
Yeah.
100% of the people. Yeah. I mean, I know you hate that, Russ. You don't like or dislike the idea of the entertainment side, but...
I like a good fight. I just don't like the stage fighting. I don't like it when the puck drops and two guys stand off at center and they circle around and it's a big show. I like it. You go in the corner, guy hammers a guy, then boom, there's a fight going on because it's part of the play. Like they're pissed off at the play. I just don't like the stage fighting. Never have, never will.
Right.
But fighting's great. We don't have that much. But we don't have that much anymore either. We don't have the fighting that we used to have.
How come we don't, though?
I think just the rule changes and the games change. So,
right. Well, Ovi, we've never asked you about this because you and I are a little biased because of our buddy Wayne.
Yeah.
I never like saying anyone's going to beat him, but it started about a year ago, where they said Ovi might catch this guy because he's showing no signs of slowing down as he gets older. Looks like, what would we say, Stevie? A couple years away would be realistic if he keeps up. What sort of pace here does he have to keep up?
Yeah, he's got to be 3-4 years at 30 to 40 goals on average for each year.
What do you think, Rusty? Is this doable? Is this?
Oh my God! I mean, even Wayne has said it's doable, but I think what did he miss? A year? What? 1 year of a lockout, right? For sure, he had to be out for that one. When they missed a whole season.
Ovi or Gretz? You're talking
about Ovi, Ovi. Well, Gretz too. We had some lockouts, so that's fair. That's a good analogy there. That Wayne also missed some time playing. So, but he Ovi is something else, man. I just, the guy, I love watching him because not only does he get excited when he scores, but his teammates, he's on the bench going crazy when his team scores. The guy's just ultimate. He's such a great energy. I know people were on him when he first came in league that he was celebrating too much.
Yeah, he was having fun, man.
But he is, I think he's been great for the game and, you know, thank God he won a cup. He's too good a player not to win a cup. And he played with Matt Pettinger. I probably repeat myself, but I'll tell this story again when he played, since we're on him.
Sure.
Matt Pettinger from Victoria is playing with Ovi. And I was talking to him about how great he is. And I said, tell me something about him. And he goes, well, we had to talk to him about cooling it down after the celebrating, after he scored goals, because he scored a goal and jumped into the referee's arms. Knocked the guy.
I've never heard that.
Oh my God. And I laughed so hard and they go, yeah, Ovi, you know, you can't touch the refs even when you scored.
That is so good. That is so good.
He's just a big kid out there and just loving playing playing hockey. He makes a lot of money and he's well paid and still just loves the game. You can just see the passion and the excitement of when he's out.
If you're him, Rusty, the microphones are being stuffed in his face about breaking this record. And, you know, most guys would toe the line of, hey, listen, team first, team first, team first. But he's sort of been quoted as saying, absolutely, man, I want this record, man, for sure. Wouldn't you, sort of deal? And that makes him kind of real, you know?
Yeah, he's being honest. And the good thing for Ovi is he has had all these guys to catch. So he's looking at the player in front of him. Okay, right. I got to catch Steve Yzerman. I'm going to catch Brett Hall. I'm going to, you know, and he's Marcel Dion. And one by one, he's picking them off. It's not like it's Ovi and then Gretz. That's where it's going to get interesting is when he's in second place, that's where the pressure is going to be for him.
Right.
Is that, okay, now I've got to catch the great one. And that's when it's going to be interesting to watch. Right now, he's just, you know, I got to score 17 goals. I got to score 10. I got to, you know, to pass these guys, and he's doing it. But once he's in second place, that's going to be awesome to see what he does.
Well, and hopefully he keeps up the sort of talent level and the skill level, because what'll be really
And it's a ways away too, right? Like it's not like it's going to happen this year. Right? 2-3 years, possibly 4, and he's not getting younger, so it'll all be interesting watching it. And
he's 145 goals behind.
Wow, geez, that is
so.
That's 145.
I mean, that's
50. That's
30 times 5 is 150. So he's got to have 30 goal years. Which it looks like he can do for now.
Or 350s.
Well, I don't want him to break Gretz's record. Gretz is my man. I don't want it to happen. Anyway, it's not ever unheard of that front office people get fired, coaches get fired, guys quit, guys get sent down. But all of a sudden, the Montreal Canadiens make some moves because they're shitty. Yeah. And next thing, this thing is beating any headline on any newspaper right now. It's like, even out here, it's the number one story. Mm-hmm. You have a personal connection to it. And Scott Mellenby quit.
Yeah.
Why would anyone quit, Russ, if you've got a contract, man? Why would you quit?
Well, because Scott Mellenby is talked about in every time a GM job comes up. His name is surfacing, and he probably feels like, okay, Bergie's stepping down as GM. Now it's my turn, and they're out searching for a general manager. And so he's probably going, you know what? I deserve this job. You guys don't think I do, so I'm going to quit. And then that also puts his name out there for potential hiring of one of these new GM jobs that's coming up. So
he gives up dough, but he's doing it because he'll probably get hired.
It shows that he's got character, that he's not in it for the money, and he believes he's worthy of being a GM, and he's ready for it. So he quit.
Bergevin takes Montreal to the Cup. He's a friend of your brother's. You know him. You, like I said at the top of the show, you teased us that something big was going to come out of Montreal. That was probably a month ago.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it has. Bergevin in the news got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing, according to you, Russ, I'm saying, well, we kind of knew about this story. So I'm putting two, and I know you can't say too much, but I'm putting two and two together. And I'm going, this guy's going to step down.
Yeah.
When you brought that up. So I don't know if I believe he got fired or whether it's just what the headline is going to read. Because maybe if I'm Jeff Molson, I don't want everyone quitting on me here.
Yeah.
Because you'd be the next to go. What are your thoughts on the whole
thing? Well, I knew he wasn't coming back. That was the news in Montreal that he was.
Why?
I don't want to get into that. That's his decision. But anyways, I knew Mark wasn't coming back. And I think he was willing to stay on and help them find a replacement. But obviously they want to do it right away, so they let him go. But that's why I think Mellenby quit, because he knew Mark wasn't coming back, and they, you know, you would think that if Mellenby's good enough, you know, that would be your natural. But they obviously want all new guys, and I just read on Instagram that Patrick Waugh has put his name out there.
I'll talk about Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, so I just read, he goes, what do they have to lose? and then by hiring him to be the GM. So my French Canadian friend down here, he thought that Patrick was getting the job a couple months ago, and I said, I don't know. I didn't say anything about Mark to him because I knew what was going on behind the scenes, I don't know anything about Patrick or whether they're talking to him about.
Well, Bergevin apparently didn't re-sign there last year, right?
Yeah.
Holding out. I'm holding off here for a bit. Say Montreal got off to a better start here in the 20 games. He probably would have left anyway. Is that, can we glean that out of what you're saying?
I think he was going no matter what. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's kind of his decision, was he wasn't going to come back after.
Right. So Patrick Waugh's name gets in this thing. What's that thing I often say about Patrick Waugh? Oh yeah, he's a knob. come on. Okay. I don't like this guy. I don't get it that his name always, I do that he's, you know, he's French, Montreal guy. He went to Colorado. Stevie was telling me this morning, he kind of quit on Joe Sakic out of nowhere. I've never liked this guy. I just get the wrong feeling, but I mean, I'm not a player, and now he's sticking his nose in there, or not sticking his nose in. You know, you can't blame him if he gets a phone call about this thing to be interviewed, but is he good enough for us to do this?
Well, he stayed in hockey, right? So he coached junior hockey, then he went to the NHL.
Yeah.
He owns, I believe he owns the Ramparts, the hockey team.
I know he did at one time.
Did,
for sure.
Or, you know, so he's been involved in hockey. You want to have somebody who's been around the game, been around the players.
Right.
For obvious reasons. I know a team hired a guy who hadn't watched the game in 5 years, and that was a complete freaking disaster because you have to catch up on what, you know, what's going on, who the players are. And if you're going to be a GM in this league, like look at Stevie Yzerman. He worked for Detroit after, watched a ton of junior hockey games, learned from Holland. And then he goes to Tampa and creates this awesome team. I mean, but he stopped playing, and the next year he was in the front office. And that's, you know, you got to be in the game. You got to.
Right.
So Patrick,
earn your stripes, sort of.
Well,
speak,
you right? just got you, it's a Rolodex of information that you have to have, and so anyone who wants to be a GM has to be in the game for a long time at some level, and so hopefully Patrick's done that, and I think he has. I don't keep up with what Patrick does, but you know, since he left the game, he's been coaching or watching hockey. So who knows?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. It's a,
and I like I mean, everybody.
But politically, it would be great because French Canadian played in Montreal, won Stanley Cups there. I mean, it would be in some capacity, it would be a smart move by the Montreal Canadiens to get Patrick Waugh at, maybe as an advisor, whether he would do that or not. I don't know. If he's not qualified to be a GM, it'd be nice if they hired him to be something, you know? Advisor to the look at Cam Neely's done a great job in Boston. Joe Sakic's done a great job. Steve Yzerman's done a great job. Rob Blake's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Luke Robitaille. These guys have something to offer, you know, these players.
Guys you played with, right? Those are a bunch of names, right?
Yeah. And they've.
Bergevin.
Patrick would be a great advisor for the Molsons, you know, if he wasn't the GM. The GM coming to him, who'd go to the Molsons and say, this is why they want to pay this guy or they want to make this trade. So there's something he could do there for Montreal, I think, for sure.
What else can I talk to you about today, Rusty? I don't know if you saw this, the Toronto Maple Leafs sort of start out okay. They're kind of shitty. So they drop the dress code, right? The shirt and tie thing. And then a guy shows up, I think, with some fucking clown outfit on.
No.
Okay. Then they go for a shit when they drop the dress code. Okay?
Okay.
They put the shirt and tie back on and they've won their last 5 or 6 games.
Oh,
They're ripping along. I said, I gotta, should guys be allowed to wear what they want, Russ?
No, I don't.
This day and age, come on, grow up, everyone. Let the guy wear.
I'm old school. I like the players looking nice and dressing well, and the tie, I was, you know, I never really cared for the tie. I wore it my entire career, but casual when I played was on the road was no tie. And I like it when the guys are wearing suits.
Right.
And it pissed me off when some guys wore shitty suits. Like I played with this guy.
Get off your wallet, boys.
God. Some just terrible clothes that some guys wore. Just, I'm like, oh my God, you'd be better off in blue jeans.
Right.
I think athletes are paid a lot of money and there's a lot of people watching and I think they should look good.
Right.
I really do. I think that.
I agree.
It's just showing respect for the game. And I don't know, but like, I remember Dick Duff when he drafted, he was one of the Dickie scouts. Duff. Wow. Yeah. He drafted me and Floyd Smith and him drafted me when I was for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They were the scoutings team right there. And he goes, I'm going to take you to the racetrack, kid. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to take you for lunch in the racetrack. I'm like, okay, lunch sounds great. Yeah. Racetrack, I have no interest in.
Right.
And I'm in sweats and runners and he was so pissed off that the way I was dressed. He goes, when I played, we had to wear a suit and tie to practice. And now I'm starting to sound like Dick Duff where, you know, they should wear suits. I think they look great when they show up in nice clothes.
I looked at my old man. My old man went to law school in Toronto. He played hockey for the law school. Mm-hmm. And so that's in the 50s. And I look at some of the pictures that I get to see over there. And people send me stuff who are connected to my dad through one thing or another. And those guys were wearing like shirt and ties when they went to class.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I mean, they were, you know, they'd have people. You see a lot of these parties and stuff that went on in the 50s or 60s, and everyone was wearing a freaking tie. And I got to admit, I'm like, that's kind of cool.
If you look at the old Leaf games and Montreal Canadian games, during the original six,
right,
all the fans, the women were all dressed up and all the men were wearing suits and ties at the games.
Yeah.
If you look in the crowd, it was a big deal to go to a hockey game back then. So people even got dressed up to go watch the games. Now they wear jerseys.
Yeah. Now they're all wearing one of 11 jerseys for the cash grab that the teams are coming out with. We're getting set up. I got to send you some jerseys to sign. We're getting ready to do that. I'll do it tomorrow. We're going to give away your Montreal and your Toronto Maple Leaf jerseys. Like I say, they keep coming out with jerseys all the time. So do you have the 11th jersey? Fuck off. questions, Rusty. When is it too early to put up your Christmas lights? Someone wants to know. What's the deal?
We put down here in the States, people usually put up Christmas trees right after U.S. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, just had us. It, yeah.
Well, we put hers up the week before.
Oh,
yeah.
Taboo. So,
and first time in my...
too early, Rusty. Jesus.
Man. No, it looks good, actually. I like it. I love the holidays. And it's kind of nice having the tree up, and we got a fake one. Got a fake one. I wasn't a fan, but it's really nice actually.
Have you had your first rum and eggnog yet?
Nah, I'm not a rum and eggnog.
You got to have one. It's tradition. I'll have it for you.
Yeah. my dad poured me one when I was a kid and it grossed me out.
Yeah,
I wanted one so bad. No, he poured it so stiff that I've never been into rum and eggnog.
Isn't that funny? I wasn't going to admit it, but my dad used to serve me drinks too. They used to let you try them.
A little
sip of wine and stuff.
Here,
another question for you, Rusty. What's the quirkiest thing you've seen in the locker room? I don't know.
I remember we were sitting in the hot tub in Toronto, and Dan Maloney, our coach, was in there. And there's probably about
in the hot tub or in the dressing room?
In the hot tub. Eight of us sitting around talking, and one of the guys goes, he's looking down at his pubic hair and he goes, "Do crabs float?" And fucking Maloney jumped out of that hot tub so freaking fast.
I want to use that.
Two crabs.
My God, that's the best. That's the best.
Oh,
I wonder if that one can make the radio ad for the show.
It was It was.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Oh yeah, that was so. That was quirky, but that was fucking. Man. Oh, it was fucking funny. That was so funny. He jumped. I mean, we all were like jumped out of the hut, but he got out first. Son of a bitch. How about Mary Lemieux selling the Pittsburgh Penguins?
What's up there? Do you know,
$900 million to the Fenway.
I thought he kept some sort of stake in it, or is that
they did probably for publicity? You know, not Mary was a huge name in Pittsburgh, so he probably just kept a tiny little piece just so that his name's still involved with the team.
Nice because, catch there, because I think his outlay was only about $25 million.
I think originally they owed him. It was when deferred salaries were in vogue back in the day, and they owed him $33 million, I think. And he was the largest creditor when they went bankrupt, and he ended up with owning most of the team.
Right.
So
They sold to Fenway Sports Group.
Yeah, they own the Red Sox, and they own.
What's the Red Sox worth? $1.5 billion. Before we go, so can anyone coach Russ? Great players. I think this stems from the Oiler days. You know, I remember those days. Of course, Gretzky, Gretzky, Yari, Paul Coffey.
Mess, yeah.
Anderson, you know.
Fuhrer.
And everyone used to give, you know, and Sather was, of course, the coach
Nielsen.
Back then. And they won it. You know, they won for the next 3-4 years. And everyone used to give, wow. How are they possibly giving any credit to Glenn Sather if you've got those guys on your team?
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Well, good coaches are good coaches, and they can coach as long as they have the respect of the players. They can coach anybody, and Pat Quinn was that way, and he had the respect of the room and the players, and he was a real good man, and yes, a coach can take a team like Edmonton that was full of superstars. And I think they all talk about Slats and how great he was for them. And he let them have fun. And then he cracked the whip once in a while and they played hard for him. And he was a big part of that team. He was a character on that bench. Right. I mean, he was, and so obviously he did a great job reining those guys in because they were a lot of fun.
Olympics, Rusty, are around the corner in February this past week. I don't know if it's the first of the sort of team selections here, but the curling, right? I do a little curling podcast, Russ, with the great Kevin Martin. Yeah. And the men and women's teams were this always comes up. Owners, Rusty, you own an NHL team. You got a lot of money invested in it. We just heard about the number that Fenway paid for the Pittsburgh Penguins, $900 million.
Yep.
Not every owner, Russ, is really big on this, having their players go play in the Olympics. Going, he's my star guy here. I wish they wouldn't. You've played at the international level, Rusty. If you were an owner, can you step in and say, he ain't freaking going?
No. I think right now what's happening is COVID's going to play a role in that decision because of what's going through. It's gone through some teams. And right. I think, forget the injury, I think COVID could have a big impact on whether they go or not. In fact, I was talking to Bobby Ryan, who is training, waiting for a call possibly to play. And he's going to really step it up in case the U.S. doesn't send a team. And then, you know, a guy like him could go and play.
Oh, so, interesting.
Wow. Yeah, right? So there could be teams could be countries could be represented by players. We have a ton of Canadians playing in Europe. I mean, they could go if the NHL decided because of COVID, they're not going to send their players over there.
I wouldn't, man. I'm like, I don't care. It's the Olympics. Give me your big, leave the emotion at the doorstep. I got a business story.
I think it's less about injury this one. I think it's more about COVID.
Right.
I think that there's a good chance they could say, you know what? We're not sending the NHL guys over.
You could get COVID, right?
Yeah. And miss, 10 days. Like Lawton's team, my son in Charleston, I'd said seven guys. They So they were scrambling trying to get players right. to play. So,
well, some teams are decimated, right? The Islanders were. I think there's Ottawa. A story today. Toronto canceled practice today. Someone had COVID. Yeah. Someone wants to know what your pension is, Russ.
My pension?
NHL pension.
None of their fucking business.
There we go. I knew that. I was going to tell the guy. There we go. There we go. Because some older players, right? There are a lot of guys. I know some crusty older players from the 70s who are pissed about their pension. So anyway, I asked, okay? I asked, Gallardo. Don't blame me. Rusty, let's get out of here, man. Full show. Good job. And a lot of great stuff there from what your daughter is going through and a bunch of other stuff. So what are you going to do the rest of the week, Rusty? Okay. Go take down your freaking tree and put it up again next week.
Yeah. No, golfing and hanging.
Why do I ask? I've just got to go buy a bag of salt at Canadian Tire Rust to put on my driveway.
80 degrees down here today.
Oh, shit. Let's get out of here. You've been listening to, I don't know, a bragging, obnoxious Ross Cardinal and a very humble Jim and Jerome. I'm 60, Rusty. I'm old, man.
Yeah, happy 60th.
That's going to make you feel old. We'll talk to you later, everybody. See you next week, Rusty.
See you, pal.
Thanks for being with us. Please be sure to subscribe to The Suspendables today and share the show with your friends and followers. And find out everything you need to know about the show on our brand new website, thesuspendables.com.